This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
I'm sure that God the Father took him out into the desert, or wherever else he took him, and he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. If you'll notice, we only grow in the valleys. We don't. When we're fat and happy, we don't grow. It took a whole lot of darkness in your life to bring you to a saving knowledge of Jesus. So you went up on that rooftop and called out to God with all sincerity. You know,
absolutely, 100%. What you're saying is very true, and that's why we can trust God, and that's why we know God is good, because He's there to rescue us. He's there to redeem us. The ministry of Jesus is reconciliation. And here's what I've learned, Red. Once you've been reconciled to a holy, loving, forgiving, merciful Savior, now your ministry is the same, the ministry of reconciliation. Hurt people hurt people. The people that God heals, He uses to help heal people. And that's our ministry. Once we go through the fire and we come out on the other side of it, we're refined through it. God is the potter. We are the clay. He's molding us. He's making us more like His Son, Jesus, for one purpose, so we can be a better witness for the kingdom. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to the church, so we can be a witness for Jesus. Not about us. It's all about Him. And when we learn that, there's a peace and a joy that comes in our life that nothing or no one can steal or rob. Nothing.
Let me ask you this. Paul said, I think it's in Ephesians, he said, if we can earn salvation by good works, then Jesus died in vain.
Right.
So, Mary was approached by an angel and said, you're going to have a child. She said, how can this be? I've never known a man, but as you say, be it unto me. And her faith was her righteousness before God. Abraham believed God, went through the testing. And they say, It says that his faith was his righteousness. So let me ask you this. If we cannot gain eternal salvation from our own works, do you think it's true that we cannot lose it? In other words, for instance, like a disappointment in self. I'll come clean here. I was living in the ghetto of Troy, New York. And I was 29 years of age, and like you, I was yelling at the ceiling one day, and I said, okay, I'm going to take a chance. I never believed in Jesus. I thought it was a bunch of baloney. I was into Eastern religions and meditation and Yogananda and stuff from the age of 14. But anyway, I'm 29. I said, okay, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to believe you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose from the dead, and nothing happened. And then I said, okay, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, rose from the dead. I said, but I'm a fool to live without God. I'm a fool to live without you. So I surrender the rest of my life to you. Boom, that's when I was filled with the holiness of God. And
right.
I sat down in a rocking chair, and I said, wow, I immediately thought this is why people take drugs, because drugs are the counterfeit of the real feeling of what it's like to be close to God. And then I said, Now I know what the black folks are talking about. They talk about joy. I thought joy and happiness were synonyms, but I found that the joy was a totally different thing. But I noticed within about 2 weeks I had stopped swearing, okay? And like you, I went down to have Sunday lunch, Sunday afternoon dinner with my parents and my girlfriend. And in the middle of the dinner, I just said, listen, I want you all to know something. I'm not nuts. Something happened. All I know is God is real. I found out this morning that God is real. And that's all I ever said. That's what I said then. But within a couple of weeks, I noticed all swearing had left my lips. I swore uncontrollably, even having friends say, hey, Rep, my daughter's in the room, please. Okay. So I stopped swearing. But then I noticed about a year later, I got mad and I wanted to swear. But I was aware I was going to swear, so I didn't swear. Then maybe a year after that, I thought about swearing, and I knew I shouldn't swear, but then I did swear by commission, not by omission. And so at least when I swear now, I know I'm going to do it, you know, and I may use a swear word as a punctuation, which I shouldn't do. But what I want to know is, and that's just a small thing, What I'm getting at here is that I tried to live like a monk for the first 7 years when I came to know the Lord. I won't go into the details, but, you know, I was 29 years of age, had a girlfriend, I was very sexually active, and I just gave all that up, thinking that I had to live like a monk. And then, of course, I got my heart broken by somebody, and then I just forgot about that, and I was angry with God, and I went back to my former lifestyle for a while. Do you think that once we know God, I mean, it says in Hebrews, for these people that had salvation and lost it, but they're talking about the Jews, I believe, who believed Jesus died on the cross for their sins as the Lamb of God. But then they later went back believing that was not enough, so they started sacrificing lambs again, these Jewish people. And mm-hmm. and there it says, Paul says, you know, Christ cannot die twice for you.
Right.
But do you believe someone like me who actually went out and maybe just did things that someone who believes in Jesus shouldn't do? Do you think that once we're forgiven, and that's that?
You asked the question that a lot of people ask. You know, there's different camps in Christianity. There's the Calvinistic view and the Arminian view. Once saved, always saved, you can lose your salvation. I really think that's the wrong question to ask. You really have to look at Jesus. He's the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. He's the only one who can save us. If God gives you a gift, that gift was given by him, from him to you. We know the story of the prodigal son. Never in that story does the father lose his love for his son. Never in that story does his father deny his son access to his home, which in essence is his kingdom. He waits patiently for the son to come to the end of himself. And once he does and returns home, he's welcomed with open arms. I don't get into debates over theology about camps. Stick with Jesus. God is the one who saves us. He's the one who delivers us. We as human beings go through seasons. Sometimes we are affected by certain circumstances in life. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. God doesn't break a promise. God does not turn away from those he loves. A covenant relationship is just that. It's covenant. It's intimacy. It's fellowship. It's through the blood of Jesus that we attain salvation alone. Ephesians 2:8-9 says we're saved by grace and faith, not by works, that no one should boast. It is a gift from God. When it talks about restoring a backslider in the book of James 5, if you do that, it does a good thing. But who's ultimately in the business of restoring? It's God, not us. God uses us to accomplish his purposes. So the issue is not can you lose your salvation. The issue is does God love you, and is God's promises eternal? And the answer to that is yes.
I got to tell you something. This has been a wonderful, well time spent for me, and I bet you anybody out there, this conversation you and I have had this morning. By the way, we've been talking with Pastor Andrew Columbia, former New York cop. He wrote a book called Transformed, How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop. Again, Transformed. The second subtitle, How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop, Andrew Columbia. Andrew, I just want to say this. I think God's given me good discernment of character and truth. And I had tears in my eyes because I believe you, I don't even know if we've ever met, but you are my brother in Jesus, there's no doubt. And the fact that he saved you so gloriously on that rooftop that day, I rejoice with you, and I rejoice with everybody that's listening to this broadcast. What God did for Andrew Columbia, what God did for Rhett Palmer, he will do for you. And his love, I think you're right. I think that, you know, Jesus said, neither height nor depth, you know, whatever, nothing can snatch you from my hand. I think once he says he's written our name in the palm of his hand, once we are saved and truly repentant. And so maybe you could give us a 30-second version of somebody who's listening who wants to repent wants to come to know the Jesus that you came to know miraculously, would you lead people out there in a prayer of salvation, Andrew?
Sure. You know, Red, it says in Romans, in chapter 8, which you just quoted, Romans, it says this, that Paul was fully convinced that nothing can separate him from the love of God. Not heights, not depths, not angels, not demons, not powers, not principalities, rulers and authorities, nothing on earth, beneath the earth, above the earth. He was fully convinced that nothing can ever separate him from the love of God. And that's the message. God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins on a cross so that you can live with him forever. God is love. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth and if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, you are saved. What does that mean, saved? You cross over from death to life because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. When you believe that by faith, and that's what faith is, believing, intentional decision to believe, you're saved. So if you're listening and you have not made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do it now. Just call out to him like I did on that roof. Call out to him like Red did. And invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Repent and call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. God bless you.
Thank you, Andrew Columbia. I look forward to continuing our friendship. God bless you.
All right, Red. God bless you and thank you for having me. God bless you.
Okay, again, the book is Transform, How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.
As we wait, seek your face.